Lord Jesus, let the words which are said from this pulpit today be uplifting to those who hear it, and may they know you. In Jesus' name, amen. This week on Wednesday, we had our last evensong for the season, and the choristers who were there sang so beautifully, and I know you are singing beautifully this morning. And I was thinking, each one of these choristers is a sacrament. You are a sacrament. And so is everyone here. You know, if you were preparing to be confirmed, you know, you would learn that a sacrament is an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual reality and grace. An outward and visible sign of an inward and invisible reality and grace. And that's what you are. And that's what everyone here really is. And the deep truth is that our inward reality, the inward reality is always in a kind of transition and change. And that's perfect for today, because we're always in between one thing and another, unless you just have nothing to think about at all. But if you care, you're in between one thing and another, and everyone is a part of change. And maybe it's not obvious from the outside, but every single person here, if you knew the playbook, you would know you are all in the midst of change. And so this Sunday is traditionally called Expectation Sunday. Expectation Sunday, because if we had celebrated Ascension on Thursday, we are about to celebrate Pentecost next Sunday, and so we are in this in-between time where Jesus left and we're getting the Holy Spirit, but now we find the disciples, just as we are, in Jerusalem, in a room together. And you know, they collected as a group, just as we are. Here we are, and they were expecting something, and something had happened. And they were in the midst of huge change, as you and I, as we are. And there they were, and here we are. And they were faced, just note the words today, with just the simple task of converting the Roman Empire. And I don't know what hills you're climbing, but I imagine that to you, those hills feel just as big. Because all of our troubles and battles and all of our mountains, each one of them is precious and hard to climb. We can't see to the other side right now. And there we are in the midst of this change in this place. Now, we hear of the disciples' joy and we hear of God's glory, which is coming to us. And the glory of God is always very strong when we think of it, you know, the healings, the miracles, the glory of God parting the sea, the glory of God walking before Christ, powerful and huge. But, I think about St. Paul's comment, so important to us: far be it from me to glory except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that, in fact, is the core of this sermon. Because when all is said and done, and when we are in this period, as all of us are, of transition and waiting, and let's spend just 1 minute thinking about what that might be like, you know, like, remember when that asteroid was supposed to hit the Earth? We heard it 3 days before it came, and it came as close as the moon. And apparently, if it had hit us, the force of that one asteroid would have been as big as every single nuclear bomb going off at the same time. And we heard about it 3 days before it came. And science always seems to be moving us forward. But you ever try to get, like, your computer to work? And then there's this, the world, you know, I think this cyber attacks. You know, everybody's attributing it to a certain country, but I figured something out. If the Russians know how to do it, I'll bet you there's other countries that could learn. I mean, this is what's going to happen next. And I don't know what it'll take. And North Korea? I mean, and then there's sickness. I mean, you know, many of you here have been through waiting for the results from a doctor. What's it going to look like? Do you have cancer? Even at the dentist office, is it going to cost $5,000? Waiting for those results. Expectation Sunday is a true demonstration of a little bit what it feels like to be alive these days. And you know, there's nothing in the entire scripture that says, just hang on. And my father used to say to me, right as I went to school, every single morning, Janet, hang by your thumbs. Don't take any wooden nickels. Write if you get work. My children, when they were three, would say, and my thumb, why am I care? Why if we get work? Because I would always say that to them, but it's not in Scripture. It's not in Scripture, have a stiff upper lip. It's not in Scripture, grit your teeth and bear it. No place does the Lord recommend even this too will pass. It's not there. Them that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be tired. They shall walk and not faint. What is it that we have that has the power in Expectation Sunday and Expectation Life to propel us on to where we should go? Far be it from me, says St. Paul once again, if I glory except in the cross of our Lord. You know, I had a friend who wrote that on her little profile in order to get a job as a priest, Nancy Hanna. She wrote, they said, What is the purpose of your ministry? Or what is your goal? And she wrote, far be it from me to glory except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the church, the people in the office of ministry putting you where you're supposed to go said, they rejected her and said, you can't quote scripture there. Okay. So we look at the glory of God in these healings, but what is it in this most precious place? Because this is the core of my sermon this morning. God's glory radiates in its greatest place from the cross. God takes on the pain of our in-between times, our fear of change, and we can stand firm right in that place and be that glory for others. Because what Jesus teaches us on the hard wood of the cross is that it is surrender which creates power. How astounding. Surrender which creates power. There's an artist and she has a TED Talk and I was watching it and she's talking about the death of her mother. And she she finds out her mother has a very bad diagnosis, and so she's trying, she's willing it, she's working really hard, she gets on alternative medicine and acupuncture and vitamins, and she's pulling for her mother and trying to get, and her mother knows this diagnosis is unto death. And finally she asked her mother, she said, "Do you want me to be doing this? Do you want me to be really looking around? I'll get another doctor." And her mother said, "No, I want you to save your strength so that you can be with me to the end." And sure enough, she was, and she describes sponging her mother's arm off with a sponge, you know, and water. And she put rose petals in the water. So each moment was sweet. She surrendered to the moments with her mother, and her whole world opened up. And you can see, she describes after her mother's death, how all of her paintings opened up to a whole new world of being present to where she was, of surrendering to what she had been given and living into it, and through that came her power. What you resist persists. The hardwood of the cross is the glory and power of the gospel. Each moment helping us through the transition to glory. Difficult to do, I know, to surrender to whatever moment it might be. But how astounding God's miracles in those places. I mean, just it happens all the time when your eyes are open. Just yesterday, I was feeling not so well at the Bridgewater Mall. And it was in Sephora. I'm not going to tell you what I was attempting to buy, but it was to make me beautiful. And I started to really not feel well. And I sat down on the chair where you're supposed to get makeup. And this lovely woman who works there in her little, she had little blotches of color. They've been painting their faces with strange things now. Have you noticed that? Brown splotches. And she said, "Would you like some water?" And she went and she got me water. And another woman sort of talked to me for a while, and they ended up bringing all the products to me while I sat in the chair. Now, I didn't want to feel ill, but it was an opportunity for what did take place. And it really finally is all we've got, God's glory in the cross. So I just close with a lovely story from Chuck Colson. And Chuck Colson, you know, became with the Watergate, Chuck Colson, and became a Christian. And then he dedicated himself to helping prison ministries. And he's had a huge effect, actually, on prison ministries and getting chaplains into prisons with those who are locked up. And he's speaking here about his visit to Hamaita. Now, Hamaita was an area near San Jose de Campos in Brazil, and it's a remarkable facility. And some years ago, the Brazilian government turned this prison over to Christians, actually to Christians, and the plan was to run the prison with Christian principles, and with the exception of only two full-time staff. All the work is done by inmates, all the cooking. It's still there today. And families outside the prison adopt an inmate, and they work with the inmate during their term and after. And so Colson wrote this about when he visited the prison. "When I visited Hamaita, I found the inmates smiling, particularly the murderer who held the keys and opened the gates and let me in. Wherever I walked, I saw men at peace. I saw clean living areas, people working industriously. The walls were decorated with biblical sayings from Psalms and Proverbs. My guide escorted me to the notorious cell used for torture. Today, he told me, that cell houses only a single inmate. As we reached the end of a long concrete corridor and he put the key in the lock. He paused and asked, "Are you sure you want to go in?" "Of course," I replied. "I've been in isolation cells all over the world." Slowly, he swung open the massive door, and I saw the prisoner in that punishment cell, a crucifix, beautifully carved by the Hamaida inmates. "The prisoner Jesus," it said, "hanging on a cross." And so the man said, "He's doing time for the rest of us." There is glory in that prison because of the one on the cross. And whatever your changes are right now, whatever your in-between fears are in this very moment, there is glory from the one doing time for you and for me. Amen.